Hey, welcome to The Revolutionized Mind, a platform about all things mental health. I'm your host, Angelica Galluzzo, and on this show, we use real stories and eye-opening conversations to make you feel less alone and a little more optimistic about what's ahead of you. Come on a journey with me. Bring your most authentic self and let's revolutionize the mind. Reforming society, repairing your mentality, restoring your life. This is The Revolutionized Mind. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. I hope you're all doing amazing. I do have some wildlife updates to share with you all, but it is a lot, so maybe I'll actually do a solo episode next. It's been a while since I've done one. And I'll just explain like everything that's been going on with me in my life since I took my first break a few months ago. But where I'm at right now is absolutely not where I expected to be, or I don't think anybody in my life expected me to be doing this at this point. So I'm going to leave it nice and suspenseful for now. You can take a guess as to what that even means if you wish. But more to come. I'll definitely take some time to do a solo episode and just update you all on my life because I know you all care so, so much. But beyond that, it has been a hectic few weeks and my anxiety has actually been really bad for the first time in a really, really long time. I notice it the most when I'm trying to sleep at night and I cannot sleep. My brain just goes on a constant loop thinking about everything under the sun, what could go wrong, all the things I need to do, you name it, my brain is thinking it. So these like feelings of anxiety have been really overwhelming for me actually the last 2 weeks specifically. And it's been a really long time since I felt like that. So I've been trying to use all my great coping skills. At night, I really like to use brown noise. I like to sleep with my weighted blanket. I like to do some body scans to get me outside of my brain and more into my body. And these strategies all do work, but it's still been challenging. So if you have any tips and tricks for that, please send them my way. Alrighty, let's get to this week's episode. I am super excited and so, so, so proud of Erica for being brave to come on TRM and share her story. Just from following her on social media, I've seen how much she has grown over the last couple years and especially in the last few months. And it does take a whole lot of courage to come on a public platform and to share some of your most vulnerable moments of your life. And if it's not something that you do constantly, I have to remind myself that this is something I do and I don't even think about it anymore. But if this is a brand new thing for you, it can be fucking hard. So I just wanted to give a huge, huge shout out to Erica for sharing everything that she did in this episode. And I know for sure that something in this conversation is going to help someone else out there. So let's get to it. Thank you so, so much for listening to this week's episode, and I hope you enjoy. So today I'm here with Erica Romanek, who is an old friend from high school, and she's going to talk all about kind of like her career change and how what she went to school for, she landed in a job and that wasn't really working out for her. So now she's doing something completely different, which I think is so fascinating and exciting. And I'm just so excited to learn more and hear about your experiences. So before we dive in, do you want to just tell us a little bit more about who you are outside of those things?
Absolutely. So like you said, my name is Erica. I originally went to school. I'll kind of give you an overview to begin with. I originally went to school for mechanical engineering at Ryerson. It is now called Toronto Metropolitan University, TMU, but at the time I went, it was Ryerson. And I did that degree. And then I started working in the consulting engineering healthcare field. So specifically, I was actually working on designing hospitals. The hospital that I primarily was helping design, and it's still even in the design stages now as well, is called Burnaby Hospital in Vancouver. Even though I was working on a project in Vancouver, I was still based out of Toronto. And when I was working on that, my mental health started to decline. I was having a really hard time with different management styles and adjusting to life after university. I know Angelica and I had kind of talked about this before, but one really stark change was going from being in this amazing university engineering community, women in STEM, all of that. And then all of a sudden you graduate and you're just kind of thrown into the adult world, and there, you don't have pamphlets and events always being thrown at you. Your friends all sort of move away and are not all on campus anymore. And it's really different and it's really tough. And so that combined with this sort of new work experience led me to start really diving into my passions more, which was reading and specifically nonfiction. And I ended up doing a massive deep dive into the history of Toronto. And I really felt that learning more about the history of the city and how things came to be would help me kind of grasp a better of understanding and just like a deeper connection to where I was. And so then I started kind of going on walks and telling my friends about everything I was learning and loving it. And then it really got me thinking, and I started writing a business plan, which I had no idea how to do. And I just Googled it and I started writing a business plan. And I asked people in the industry, hey, have you done this before? Do you know anything about the tourism industry? And so I started talking to people and I started looking at what was out there. And eventually I launched this January my own walking tour company called Step by Step Tours, doing historical walking tours of Toronto. And at first I was doing it part-time as I was still working as an engineer. And then in March, I quit my engineering job. Yay! And terrified. I'm like, that laugh is both excitement and nervousness. And then I have started doing it full-time for the summer. And I am loving it so far. So major, major career pivot from engineering to a tour guide. So
that's amazing. But yeah, like such a big change.
Big change.
And that's awesome that you were like kind of doing that inner work yourself. And then you were like, this can turn into something bigger. Like, that's so inspiring.
Thank you. My therapist definitely helped. Started going to therapy when I actually shortly after I graduated as well. So highly recommend. Make use of your benefits. And yeah, my therapist was actually one of the first people to be like, you should write a business plan. You have this passion and you are so capable. Think about what you would rather be doing if you weren't doing this. What are you fantasizing about? What are you daydreaming about? And as crazy as it sounds, because it's like you really need to look at your passions. Because if you're passionate about something, then it'll be sustainable and then you'll put your heart into it. And that's what'll ultimately make you successful, or at least that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. You're just so much more engaged with your everyday, and it sucks when like you have this full-time job that you hate. Like, you're not motivated to get up in the morning. You're drained by your work. You don't have energy to do anything else. Like, it's so true that when you actually invest your time and energy into something that you care about, that you feel is like beneficial to others and yourself, you are just overall in such a better headspace.
Yes, I 100% agree. And actually, I'm going to backtrack a little bit and just talk about when I knew I needed to make a change and or get help. So this kind of anecdote really shows, I think, the power of denial, because I was very, very, very fortunate. And I hadn't really struggled with mental health before in my life. I had had little stints of things happen and I'd had the odd anxiety attack, but they were all very, very explainable instances. Like, there was one time where I was talking in front of a school assembly and I had in front of a massive crowd, very explainable. I didn't think that was an issue. And what happened was I only realized there was a problem when I saw a pattern. And so what happened was I knew I wasn't okay. I knew I was not happy. And I knew that I should probably start seeing a therapist. But I kept thinking, let me just get through one more week of work. Maybe this was a bad week. Maybe this was a bad week. And that turned into a few months. And then I was thinking, okay, maybe it's this project. Maybe I just need to wait for the next project. And what really hit me home is when I went out for dinner with some friends one night, and I had pizza, and the pizza had arugula on it, and I basically hadn't eaten anything else. And the next morning, I was throwing up. And it was a Monday. It had been a Sunday night. And the next morning, I called the restaurant and complained. I was like, oh my God, I have food poisoning. This is awful. I've never had food poisoning before, which may have been a little bit of a lie, but it's fine. And I just like tore them a new one, which I never do. And so that was 1 week. And then the same thing happened the next week. And that was also a Monday. And then it was a long weekend. And so I would have been starting work on the Tuesday. And that Tuesday, the same thing happened, where I was starting my day with my head in the toilet, which was not okay. And it was on the third or fourth week at this point, where I was not keeping food down in the mornings, where I finally looked at the calendar and realized, oh, every single day, it's the first day that I'm starting my work that week. And that was when immediately it dawned on me and I went, oh, I need help. This is physically causing me problems now. This isn't just, you know, in my head. This is serious. Mm-hmm. And so that was when I knew I needed to start going to therapy. And what's wild is that I'd been working for this company for a few months. I had full benefits. I just was not using them and I needed them. And I was really, really in that strong state of denial. And it wasn't until I had evidence, I had a clear pattern, that I recognized it and went, I need help. So I immediately started looking for therapists. I found a lovely one. I started going to it, and we knew what the problem was immediately, right? There was never a question of like, what are you experiencing? Why are you experiencing it? Was, we know the source of this is your job. We know you have to pay rent, so we need a plan here, but something has to change. So that basically accumulated into a conversation I had with my manager at the time where, and this is, again, wild because now I've had conversations looking back on this where I didn't have the courage to go to my manager kind of asking for help until I had also accepted that I would be okay if they fired me. Like I was thinking about it in my head and I was like, if they fire me, what's the first emotion you're going to feel? And it was relief. I was like, if I feel so relieved, like that's major. And so I went to my manager and I did not sleep for 2 days going up to this call, which I don't recommend. Mm-hmm. And we had the talk of, I think I need to change teams. And so we did, and it was not an immediate change. I had to kind of partially work part-time for three different people, including my original manager, for a few months. Actually, it was like 2 or 3 months. And then they called me and they were like, hey, so circling back to that conversation we had in September, do you still feel that way? And I was like, absolutely, yes. And they're like, okay, there is an opportunity on another team. I will put your name in the hat for that. And that really, really started to improve. With that manager, this new manager was treated me very well, a huge mental advocate himself. So that was really difficult because then for me, for a while, I was thinking, oh, so it was the manager, not the career. And so things did start to improve there, but they did plateau. And so after a few months of working for the new manager, again, I started really daydreaming about something else, right? And it's never good when you're daydreaming. And so that is when I started basically really analyzing my passions. And I started really, really, like I literally sat down one day with a piece of paper in front of me and said, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And also, is this engineering? Is this consulting engineering? And some conclusions I came to were, first off, I did really like studying engineering in school, but I did not like working in consulting engineering. So I know consulting engineering is not for me, and that's okay. But then I was thinking a lot about it, and I said to myself, you're in your 20s. You have this big pull towards history and somehow being around more people and connecting to people more. Because another thing I really didn't like was how virtual it was. It was so isolated. There were days where I wouldn't leave my apartment. In fact, I started tracking my steps, like religiously. I still do. But I knew it was 16 steps from my desk to my fridge and 17 from my desk to my bathroom. And so there were days where I had like 200 steps and I would just do the math and like, oh, that's how many times I ate and that's how many times I went to the bathroom. And, you know, you're supposed to have, I think it's like 10,000 a day for healthy movement. And I was getting like 200. I think the lowest I got one day was 56. Which was a real low. So I knew I really wanted something with more movement. I wanted to be outdoors. I wanted to be around people. And then I was looking at what I was doing on my weekends. I was looking at how much I was reading. I looked at what I was reading about and started to really do research in those areas. So one area of research is, of course, to scout out the competition. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend you do that. If you are getting into any industry, you need to know what's out there, because using that information, then you'll realize kind of what you will bring differently. And that's what will make you succeed. So I did a bunch of the competitions, tours and other things, and kind of wrote analyses on the various kind of competitions and what was out there. And founded Step by Step.
Wow. I feel like you mentioned so many like key nuggets throughout that. And the first thing I kind of want to like break down and get a little bit deeper about is, so you mentioned like the physical symptoms of your anxiety showing up every yes. Monday, which it's interesting. I'm very sorry you had to go through that, but it's interesting how like consistent it was. And it was like the start of a new work week. And that's like a clear signal.
Yes.
So can you expand a little bit more on just like the mental and emotional, like what was going on in your mind beyond the physical symptoms?
Absolutely. So in my mind, I was so terrified about talking to my manager, and I was so terrified I was doing a bad job. And I'd almost like pretend I knew how conversations were going to go that next week. And so in my head, I'd be so certain, oh, this person's going to say this and it's going to lead to this, and then it's going to be your fault. And that would really, really spiral. And of course, that's not always the way it is, but it became, I want to say, very predictable, not only like in my own sense, but that was drawing from events that were happening, right? And the emotions were just so much stress. I would be crying. I had another coworker that was going through the exact same thing, also working for the same manager. And we would call each other crying and vent to each other. And I'm so thankful I had her as a support as well, but I also can't imagine what it would have been like without her. Mm-hmm. And so I also had this validation of someone else was going through the same thing as me, which was nice, but also concerning that, again, it took me so long to identify what was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so in my head, I was like, oh, it's not me, right? Because I had this other person. I'm not the problem. And just because I'm not the problem doesn't mean that I'm not being affected by what's going on. So I think in my head, I kept just thinking, it's not me. I'm not the problem. So I don't need therapy. And yeah, it wasn't until we know what happened.
Yeah. That social support is so huge. But like, I think underneath that just shows that like, there was clearly a bad environment there that you both were stuck in.
Yeah.
But like, calling each other crying, that's obviously horrible, but you know that like you're both going through it. And it, like you said, like it's not a me problem. This is clearly something outside of my control.
Bigger. Yeah. But I also think that was dangerous, because that definitely factored into me not realizing how affected I was by the environment, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, to anyone who might be working really long hours, I mean like 8 a.m. till 11 p.m., and you're not seeing daylight, and you're not seeing your family, and you're not working out, and you're eating a lot of takeout. In my case, it was a lot of burritos. you might be checking some boxes, and you might want to take a look at yourself and what you need beyond, you know, food and sleep, mm-hmm. these social needs as well.
Yeah, and even just like calculating your steps from your desk to your bathroom or your kitchen, like, just daily movement is so crucial for everything, our mental health, our physical health, our emotional health. Yes. Like it is key that you do something with your body every day. And it doesn't always have to be going outside for a long walk or like working out. It could be chores. It could be moving around your house, playing with your pets. So the fact that you only got like 56 one day is definitely concerning.
Yeah. And I look back now being in a much healthier place, and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe I really, really feel that anxiety. I know in my case gave me tunnel vision. So I was not thinking rationally. And I'm like, the second I saw 56 steps, like I should have known, hey, that's really not good. and I think part of me did, but I didn't dig deeper than that surface level of what does this mean for you? And like, I think back even, like I look at modern day 9-to-5 workers that go to a bank and sit at a computer from 9-to-5. And I think, wow, that's kind of the natural. Like, imagine back in the day when we were hunters and gatherers and outside walking all the time. And it was like taking that 9-to-5 office job to an extreme. And it's just like, wow, that was so, so unnatural.
Yeah. And it's the consistency too. Like, obviously I have my days where I don't get up from bed or I'm literally at my desk all day, and I also have very small steps recorded.
Yeah.
But knowing that like this can't be a repeated thing, like sure, it's fine to have that once in a while, but like the next day, make sure you take an extra long lunch where you can get outside or do some movement.
Yes.
And it sounds like you didn't really have that flexibility in your job to make those adjustments.
No, unfortunately I did not. I remember very clearly. So there was a hierarchy where I worked. And so I had sort of like, I want to call them an assistant manager on top of my sort of more senior manager. And the assistant manager, they were very young and they were very inexperienced as well. And I think perhaps the company should have provided more training on how you actually manage someone, because I do recognize they were young, they were inexperienced in a management role. And sometimes trial by error is not the best way to go about that. But I do recognize that they were in a situation and they were putting a lot of pressure on themselves. And they called me once and they were like, well, more than once, but we don't need to get into that. And they called me. There's one particular phone call I remember where they were like, oh my gosh, you messed this up. This is on you. And you need to fix this by Monday. And at this point, it was probably 7 p.m. This was well past the regular working day. And it was a Friday. And oh, I'm also supposed to work half day Fridays. And basically, like, you have to get this done on your weekend. Otherwise, we're missing this deliverable or whatnot, and it's on you. And also, keep this a secret from the senior manager. And so part of me, like, they were like, oh, that they wouldn't be very happy if they found out you were working on your weekend. But I also was being told, you need to do this. And so there is also a question of when you're really low down on the corporate ladder, like, who do you feel like you can trust? Mm-hmm. And who has your back? And I think it's really, really important to have a mentor. If you can, find a mentor that is not your manager, to be able to go to them and feel comfortable going to them if you're ever in a situation like that. And you don't want to form that mentorship with that as your primary goal of, oh, I need to have this scapegoat in case anything ever were to go wrong. No, it's great to have multiple perspectives in a senior employee and to see different management styles and see different priorities. But I do think it is also a very important added benefit that you have someone that you think will advocate for you if something major ever did happen with your direct manager. So that's definitely a piece of advice for anyone is make those connections, please. please.
Yeah, no, I think that's key, especially like when you're just entering your first job outside of school. Like,
yes,
not that you're typically seen as like less than or you're like the lowest on the ladder, but you are.
Yeah.
And it is just important to like build those relationships and know about the company that you're working at so that you know who to go to if something does come up.
Yes, yes. Everyone needs support, and not only from people their own age.
Absolutely. And you mentioned like writing down everything on a piece of paper, like all these things you started questioning about yourself.
Yes.
So can you talk about what some of those big questions were and like what fears were going on inside your mind?
Absolutely. I definitely recognized one of the big questions I had was, do you still want to be a woman in STEM? Do you still want to be in engineering? And I was very, very proud of to be a woman in STEM, right? And I've had found a lot of connections with females online through those sort of networks that are formed for that area and for that field. Like there were just Instagram accounts that I had followed that were all like women in engineering and Iron Ring girls and all of these amazing things. And so part of me was like, do I have to give that up if I pursue something different? And I know it sounds silly to even articulate this now, but will people in engineering still respect me for walking away? And will people still want to be my friend if they found out, like if they're in engineering or if they're in STEM, if they found out that I was in STEM and walked away? And so there was some fear there and fear about also a loss of identity in myself, being like, oh, well, if I'm no longer identifying as this, how am I going to make friends? Like, I don't have that sort of community to go through. And so that was a big part of, I want to say, the difficulty in making the decision, because I knew I was passionate about this other thing. And in my head, there was a lot of thinking it had to be either or. Like, it was like, oh, if you're not an engineer, then you're something else. And I do think now that I can be both, that people are multifaceted and you can have an engineering degree and not work in your field and also be insanely passionate and well-educated on another topic as well. And that doesn't mean you're unqualified. It just means you're doing different things and you're stretching, I want to say, your limits, and you're a curious individual, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. So that was a big emotion and sort of a big internal conflict for me. And then even after I made the decision, okay, we're going to pause engineering for a bit because there's sort of this dark cloud that is lingering over that whole field right now for me. And I recognize that I did enjoy studying that, but right now I need to step away from that. I need a break. And I don't think that means I've written it off entirely. Maybe 10 years down the line, I decide, you know what? I want to go back to engineering. Great. Guess what? That degree, it did not just go up in dust, did not go up in fire when I decided to walk away. It's still valid. It's still there. And so maybe one day there will be some new position somewhere that actually somehow combines all of my passions and all my qualifications. Who knows? Maybe I'll even make it myself. But yeah, I do think you can be many things and you don't have to necessarily choose and write something off. And so I said, all right, let me lean in to my passions and lean into what's really making me happy right now. And so I started doing a lot of planning. This is something else that I feel like I should emphasize to people, is there was a lot of planning that went into this. This plan took over a year for me to make the plan, execute the plan. And then when I say that, that's just like my prep to launching the business, let alone all of the things that come with after launching it. I'm talking about research. I'm talking about registering a business and opening a business and saving a lot of money to make sure that if I wasn't successful immediately, which like is the reality, right? If I was struggling to kind of carve out that space in this field for myself and against my competitors, that I would be okay and I wouldn't be scared I was going to lose my apartment or something like that. And so there is a lot of budgeting as well that goes into planning anything like this. So you really have to sit down and be brutally honest about your spending habits, about your financial goals, individually and as a business, and personal goals. You're like, what am I going to consider successful? How long am I going to do this and put my heart into this, even if it's failing, right? And how are you measuring your success and your failures? Is it all going to be profit, or is it going to be in the reviews from your guests and them being amazing and heartwarming? And you're like, all right, well, this is what makes me happy. And I have that validation. So a lot of things to consider there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, so many great points. Speaking to the first one first, just like the identity around being a woman in STEM, I feel like when you go to school for so many years and you put your whole heart and soul into like becoming an engineer, and outside of just studying anything for a few years, I feel like woman in STEM is like such a strong thing that you attach to your own self-worth and identity.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure that was very, very difficult to like assess where you were at and where you wanted to go. And I love how you said that like your degree is not just going to disappear after like taking some time for yourself. Like you will always have that. That will always be a part of you. And life is so up and down, like down the line, maybe you'll go back to it. Like you said, it's not a once you make a decision, that's the rest of your life kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like you probably relate a little bit to this as well, where I know you went for a while, I believe you were planning on being a soccer player. Mm-hmm. And now you're a mental health advocate. And I'm so happy you pivoted. I think it's amazing what you're doing and what you stand for. And you don't have to be exclusively one or the other. Mm-hmm. You can be both. Or, you know, you can play soccer and also be a mental health advocate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So thank you. And that's like another big thing of what I talk about is like the concept of athletic identity. And that's like what I grew up on. That's what I thought my whole life was until I was kind of faced with like external circumstances that made me look at who I was as a person a little bit differently. And I think it is kind of related actually that you bring that up to what you're saying now. Like it's okay to pivot and still like at the core, I will always be a soccer player. It will always be such a big part of my life, but it's okay to do something different.
Absolutely. And I think especially in the very beginnings of Step by Step, I was having these like dual emotions where I was grieving my sort of engineering career and my identity as a woman in STEM, while also simultaneously being so happy and so insanely excited about Step by Step that like I remember like the first few days after I quit my job, I was waking up like smiling. I was so happy. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this. But at the same time, I sort of had this pit in my stomach where I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this. Oh my God, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, that's going to be a big change, but that's okay. You can have that pride. And then with time I've looked back and I'm like, yeah, I am both. I am both of those things. They exist together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're not one or the other. You're both.
Mm-hmm. They're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you've mentioned like step by step and kind of what you're doing, but can you explain like what this business is, what your typical day looks like, and how it's like actually related to your own personal growth through all of this?
Amazing. Yes, absolutely. So Step by Step is a walking tour company right now. In the future, I do want to expand its services. So typically on, I want to say my regular day, I meet some amazing guests from all around the world and I take them around the city and I talk about the history of all the places we visit. Like one of my favorite places is called Old City Hall, and there's a fantastic anecdote about the architect kind of leaving hidden nuggets in the architecture about all the politics that were going on at the time that the city hall was built. So I love just like telling guests about that, and I find that we end up just having these amazing conversations, not only about like history and politics, but someone randomly asked me once about, hey, why is your bench designed that way. And I just happen to know because my lovely sister is in architecture and she's told me all about aggressive architecture. And I was like, oh, that's an anti-skateboard. I want to call it a knob. It literally is just like a knob. And we ended up getting into this whole conversation about aggressive architecture. And at one point I stopped and I apologized and I said, do you want to keep talking about this? Because I can expand more on the history of the things we're passing. And they're like, no, this is a great conversation. I want to keep talking about this. And so sometimes you end up just having these like quality conversations with guests from all over the world. And for me, that really fills my cup. Like I love having those conversations. I love meeting new people. And I walk away sometimes just like absolutely smiling. I oftentimes end up hugging the people at the end. Like we spend half a day together and I love it. So that's kind of like one day. Another thing is sometimes, and this kind of really relates to the revolutionized mind, another thing I do with Step by Step is I partner with a company called Happier. And Happier is another female-owned and operated Toronto business that specifically is designed to help people make friends. And it's typically people in their 20s and 30s. And a lot of times it's, you know, that what I was talking about earlier, where you're experiencing this environment outside of university for the first time, or maybe you just moved to the city for the first time and you don't have many friends and you're feeling lonely and you want to feel more connected to your community. And so we run these hybrid walking tours where it's both a walking tour and you learn about the history of some things, but it's also getting to know you games. So it's all based around kind of community connection and making third spaces. So for those that don't know, in a healthy, I want to say, mindset, environment, a lot of people believe you need three spaces. You need your home space, your workspace, and some form of community space. And historically, a lot of the times that community space has been the church. But the church in recent years hasn't been very popular. Sometimes it's been your sports team. And with COVID, many, many people lost not only their third space, but their second space of work as well became their work and home. And a lot of psychologists think that this is a big problem with people's happiness and not only with their happiness, but also being exposed to different personalities, different ideas, different communities, different perspectives, which all create that healthy kind of psychological environment. So we're working really hard and trying to partner to help make those third spaces in the city. And it's been really fantastic so far. So that's kind of another avenue of Step by Step is sometimes we'll do these walking tours and sometimes we do these hybrid walking tours that are more focused on community and having those other conversations and getting to know you. And personally, that's made me feel very connected to the community. And I think, I mean, again, speaking from my personal experience, it's been really, really great. And I find myself being very happy or a lot happier than I was a few years ago. And I look back and I'm so excited to grow. I'm so excited to meet new people, to expand, to just keep kind of putting myself out there and offering new routes, new events. I'd love to do one that's more somehow wellness related as well. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I love that. That is so wholesome and cute. And it's just awesome to hear, like you mentioned throughout this conversation, that like you love meeting new people and like showing what you care about to other people and bringing them together. And yeah, that's like exactly what this business has become for you, which is just so awesome to see, especially knowing now like kind of the mental health struggles that you were going through when making this decision.
Yeah.
And how it's blossomed into something that like truly puts a smile on your face, which is incredible.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Some days when I'm feeling insecure about it, I go and I read all the customer reviews. And honestly, that always makes me just reinforces this, like, you made the right choice. Mm-hmm. You are doing well. This is great. You look at all the people that have had a phenomenal experience and say you're absolutely amazing. So Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been a lot of fun and it's come very full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've like shared lots of advice throughout this conversation. But if you could summarize it into one key piece of advice that you would give to someone specifically looking to merge their passions with their professional life, which is what you did, what would you tell them?
I would say, be very honest with yourself, first and foremost, about what you want your life to look like, and then kind of outline steps to help you get there. And I mean, like very reasonable and very specific steps and things that, you know, you can incorporate into your daily life. So they're not like a chore that you're doing them. It's like, yeah, I want to, okay, as an example, I want to go to the gym more. Okay, great. What works for you? What fitness classes make you excited to go to the gym, because those are the ones that you'll keep showing up for. And so I know that's kind of a different example, but you need to be really honest with yourself about the steps you need to take to get there and what makes you happy. And again, like, you're going to think you're overthinking at the beginning. If you're making a career change, you're not. You need to consider everything, including your financial situation. That's really important. And if you don't feel confident in your finances, great. That's an area you have outlined that you need to look into. Take a financial literacy course. There's tons. You can find free ones online. Watch a video on how to write a business plan, right? Like, identify the steps that you need to get to where you want to be. And then from there, you got this. You absolutely got this. And I know this is two pieces of advice, but then also just remind yourself of the duality that you can be. You do not need to be one or the other. You can be both.
I love that. And it is so important to be realistic in these changes. Like, obviously, like you mentioned, you need to pay rent in your apartment. You need to still afford groceries and everything. Like, it's not always as easy as just snapping your fingers and changing your career and like taking a chance if you don't have something safe to fall back on, right?
Yes.
So like, actually, I love that, being so honest with yourself, planning out. I am a planner. You are clearly a planner. But like, and if you don't feel comfortable doing that yourself, maybe it's bringing someone else into the conversation, a trusted family or friend, a therapist, a coach, whoever that is, someone
Absolutely.
Who can like really help you make these big decisions, because at the end of the day, they are really big life decisions, and you need to make sure that you're confident in the decision you're making.
100%. Talk to everyone who will listen. Mm-hmm. Listen to you ramble about your crazy ideas and your passion. I talked to both my parents. I talked to my therapist about this. I talked to my partner about this. I talked to all of my friends about this. It's funny because I had to keep it a secret for a while. And so I'd be having these conversations and then, okay, but you can't tell anyone. and it was a lot of fun to kind of have this project that I was working on. And the other thing is, it gave me a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling definitely at some points there, especially when my anxiety was worse, I was definitely feeling kind of hopeless. I'm like, oh, this will be my life if I don't make a change. And I don't want that. So I knew I was capable. I just needed to figure out the direction I was going to walk. Mm-hmm. So
that's a good pun.
Yeah.
The direction you were going to walk.
You see what I did there? Step by step.
Love it. And before we wrap up today, can you tell us like where we can actually learn more about you and your social media pages and all of that?
It would be my pleasure. So the Instagram for Step by Step is at stepbystep.tours on Instagram. Our Facebook is Step by Step Tours. We have a Facebook page, and the website is www.stepbystep.tours.com. You can also DM me on the Instagram. You are also welcome to send me an email at erica.romanuk@stepbystep.tours.com. It's a pleasure to talk to you, to share more about my business, to learn more, all of it. We're having a really great journey. So would love it if you tagged along. We'd love it if you wanted to learn more about the history of Toronto. You know who to call. Any of that. Yeah.
I love it. And it's so awesome to have these conversations. And like I always say, like, it's very shitty and unfortunate that sometimes you have to hit that low in order to get to that high.
Yes.
But hearing more about like what role mental health actually played in that and how you took matters into your own hands and really invested in therapy, invested in yourself, asked yourself these big questions, and now put yourself in a position where like you're happy to wake up every day. You love your job. You love what you do and all the people you get to impact along the way. So
all the people I get to meet.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and for all the work you're doing to improve other people's lives as well as your own. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you so, so much for creating the platform to help get step-by-step more exposure and into the world and to have important conversations. I've listened to a bunch of your other episodes and you definitely have created a safe space to talk about often difficult subject matters. So thank you a lot. It means a lot. And I'm so grateful.
Thank you. For real, everyone stop what you're doing right now and go follow Step by Step Tours on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, everything, unless you're driving. Maybe do that after. But just from following Erica's pages, I have learned so much about the history of Toronto. She shares so many awesome reels of her going to these different places and sharing fun facts, and it's so interesting to see. I mean, I don't live in the city, but every time I go, I kind of just focus on getting from point A to point B. I'm not really paying attention to what I'm passing and what the history of these things are. So it is just really fascinating to know about what's around you. And beyond that, I just love everything Erica's doing with her platform to connect with people, to build a space for people that gives them a sense of community. She's partnering with this other organization called Happier to help people make friends and learn new things. And I just think those two combine, like it is such a unique idea, especially for, like she said, people who might be new to the city, just graduated, don't have many friends or not very familiar with your surroundings. It can just be such a great way to get connected. And like I mentioned in the episode, it's just always that much more powerful when you hear some of the mental health struggles that were involved for Erica to get to the position that she's in today. You know, she didn't just snap her fingers and she was able to create this amazing business that combined her passions with her professional life. It was going through a really, really difficult time, putting a lot of hours into thinking and planning about what to do next. And then actually investing like a lot of money and energy into this new idea, that all takes a whole lot of work. And it's scary to take a chance on something new when you don't know how it might turn out. So I just love hearing the true, authentic journey of what it took to get to here, how Step by Step Tours was really born. And if you want to learn more about this business, I do have her website linked in the description as well. So definitely be sure to check that out. So that is all for this week. Thank you so much for spending your time with me and Erica on The Revolutionized Mind. I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day, and maybe I'll come out with a solo episode soon, but stay tuned. Bye.